This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are going to be spending the first half of this hour checking in on a seasonal favourite here in Malaysia, and that is, of course, durian. More specifically, we're going to be looking at the durian industry. So this story is from the Malaysian Insight, and the surprise finding here is that frozen durian pulp has actually been doing quite well during the MCO. And this has surprised sellers, because Malaysians usually prefer to have the whole fruit, the experience of cracking it open, washing their hands with the shells, picking out the seeds, you know, the whole works. And then pulp in question is usually reserved for export to China's market. But it turns out that locally, the frozen variety, when picked, packed and delivered the same day, was so popular that one seller had to impose a cap of 100 orders per day for quality assurance. The orders are done online, and then customers have two options: the whole fruit, either with the shell or just pulp. And we also, you know, we thought we'd do this as part of a larger check-in on the durian industry, because for a while it was looking like it was going to be really hard hit, especially when China was in lockdown. But it might be slowly bouncing back. FAMA, the Federal Agriculture Marketing Authority, is expecting lower than normal durian yields this season at below 300,000 metric tons, but overall expects it to be an optimistic year. They believe that there will still be strong demand locally, and when you look internationally from countries like China and Singapore, but they did note that the industry is facing challenges: high rainfall, farms lacking manpower because of the MCO, and the SOPs pertaining to communal activities like being able to eat durians at roadside stalls, which I think we all know is probably the best way to do it, with friends, with family. And I don't know. I don't know if frozen pulp is going to cut it, but let us know. I mean, how have you been getting your durian fix, if at all? Do you still want to go for, you know, the proper experience of going to a shop, going to a stall, sitting down and picking your durian? Or you're happy enough with the frozen pulp, and what have your experiences been like with that? Again, 7732900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us, we do have a durian seller, Cynthia Tay, who's the owner of Donald's Durian. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hi, Lynn.
So, Cynthia, it's been almost 3 months since the start of the MCO. We're now in the CMCO. Can you tell us how your business has been?
We just reopened on Monday, right, with fresh durians from Pahang. So far, it has been okay, but a lot of locals, because foreigners can't come in now, right? Mm-hmm. So, because a lot of my customers, they prefer the fresh durians compared to the frozen ones. But they are still looking for frozen durians because, sometimes it can be slightly cheaper and things like that.
Cynthia, can I ask maybe a bit of a personal preference question for you, right? Do you prefer fresh or frozen? Have you noticed a big difference in the flavour?
Yes, there is a difference. All right. Those who like fresh durians, they prefer it because it has the creaminess. Yeah, that is freshly. Mm. Right? Where else frozen, some like it frozen because you can eat it like ice cream.
Yeah, I've heard that said.
Yeah. Yes.
So you mentioned there that at the moment you're getting durians from Pahang. During the MCO, have you had difficulties actually getting your supply?
Okay, during the MCO, I was a bit lucky. Was because at that time, Pahang season was over. So I was not open also during that time.
Ah, okay.
So I only had a few frozen durians, which was quickly sold out also.
Overall, I mean, we are talking about fresh and frozen, but of course we all know that durians come in a whole bunch of varieties as well. Normally, you know, in a regular season, which variety is the best seller?
Musang King.
Musang King. So still Musang King.
Yes. Still Musang King. Yeah, a lot of my customers come for the Musang King.
And We talked, I think, a little bit about how people are selling durians online. Have you stepped into that realm? I mean, are you looking into doing that?
Okay, because my customers are mainly, you know, they will WhatsApp me or through Facebook. Like I said, they prefer the fresh ones. So I also do a delivery for them if they want. But I go through the third service, like maybe Grab, Lalamove, and things like that. Or I have friends who help me deliver.
Right. And when customers contact you via WhatsApp or Facebook, I guess what I'm curious about here is, are you sending photos or are they trusting you to just pick their durians for them?
Yeah, they are trusting us.
Okay. Because I know people like to pick.
Yes, all these are based on trust. So that's why I always tell them, you know, you have to know your durian sellers and trust them.
Yeah, especially now more than ever, I think. With that said, and as you mentioned, you were relatively lucky, right? Like for your season, for your closing season, I guess, to coincide with the MCO. So looking forward, are you optimistic about supply as well as sales in the coming months?
Supply, I think, shouldn't be an issue. But sales, there might be. Because, you know, nowadays a lot of people are doing online. So prices might be difficult to beat them. Because if they do frozen, they can sell it cheap. But mine, because my customers prefer fresh. So, and I do not take a lot of stocks because of the limited customers that are out now. So there's always a limited stock daily. But my fruits are fresh daily.
Earlier we talked about how Musang King is currently it's always popular option. Where does Musang King sit within the price range of durian varieties? Is it on the higher end still?
Yes, it's on the higher end.
Do you anticipate that people might want to look at durian varieties that are a bit cheaper, or are you going to, you know, stay strong with Musang King?
Oh no, I still have other varieties of durian. My customers, I always tell them to, you know, try the other type of durians, not only go for Musang King, because other types of durian will also be very good.
And finally, Cynthia, what kinds of initiatives have you seen from the government to help the durian industry, if any?
At least they still let us open and sell our durians.
I think that's the main thing, isn't it? Being able to, to get to your customers.
Yes, of course.
Cynthia, thank you so much for speaking to us this evening.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Lynn.
That was Cynthia Tay, owner of Donald's Durian, talking about how things have been for their business. After this, we're going to be hearing from Kor Yew Ling, independent political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors, for her thoughts. That's going to be coming your way after this. As mentioned today, we're talking about the durian industry because it turns out that with fresh durian being a little harder to get than usual, Malaysians have turned up the popularity on the frozen pulp variety. And so the question today is, is that how you've been getting your durian fix? You know, are you finding that you can replace fresh durian with that? Do you miss it? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is coming up to 7:19 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're talking about a thorny topic this hour, and that is the durian industry during the MCO and now the CMCO. And earlier we spoke with Cynthia Tay, who is a durian seller, on her experience during this period. We're now crossing over to get an economist's opinion on how well the industry is faring. So on the line is Kor Yew Ling, independent political economist at Sergi Anam Advisors. Yew Ling, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, good evening, Lynn.
So Pharma is expecting lower than normal yields this durian season, but expects an optimistic year overall. What do you think? Do you foresee this continuing in the coming months?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I think I spoke to a couple of traders and agronomists, and I think they're generally quite, I guess, well, not pleased, but, you know, it's kind of a plus and minus season, right? You have production being forecasted down because it was raining during the fruiting season for the durian trees. And that has allowed prices to basically hold up. So, you know, volumes down, prices up. So I guess in terms of farm incomes, it's a bit of a same-same, and they're really looking at the prospect for a prolonged season.
And what are the challenges currently facing the sector? I mean, you mentioned a few. Maybe you'd like to expand?
Well, I guess for the sector, it's been one of those, you know, big interesting ones, because in the recent years, it's been in such a spotlight with regard to diversification of the agriculture sector. And it's been one of those, the food sector has been promoted along with the China Belt and Road project. And of course, the virus has really upended things, because the food trade was one of the first things that got really hit the moment China was affected by the virus. And then, of course, the good thing is that China came back pretty fast from that. But then at the time when China was starting to, you know, demand the imports to increase after their own shutdown, you know, Malaysia had the MCO, our own version of the lockdown. So there were a couple of hiccups in relation to that. I think what happened was, if we contrast it a little bit with China, they had, you know, these green lanes organized for their farm sector, so that farmers and all the inputs and all the transport sectors was given green lanes to move quickly, because they had the spring planting to do. I guess for Malaysia, there was a little bit of a hiccup, because, you know, what I heard from people in the rural sector is that, you know, the main primary producers, meaning the big estates and the farms, sort of got their approvals going quite fast. But, you know, even industry people admitted that they forgot to ask for permission for all their transporters, packaging equipment, and even the input people, like, you know, the fertilizer people, had to come and apply later, as it were. So anyway, I think that that's basically got them sorted out. And of course, now that the supply chain sort of little hiccups have been lined out, you know, what people are saying is, you know, things like Singapore demand is down 25 to 30%. But then on the other hand, production is also down 25 to 30%. So it's kind of like, you know, the way they're describing it is same-same, and that's why prices are holding up.
This was something that we asked Cynthia earlier, actually, and I'd be curious to know as well. Do you think that we're going to see a preference change, a preference shift in terms of the varieties that people are looking at? Because, of course, a durian habit can be an expensive one to sustain if you have champagne tastes, so to speak. And do you think that we're going to see a difference in terms of demand when it gets down to the variety level?
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, I had a look at some of the Facebook and, you know, postings that are there. And you do see comments there, right, that, you know, the durian retailer could be selling Musang King. And then there will be comments down there that, you know, I can't afford this one. I want D24. And then they'll say, oh, no stock yet. And, you know, please let us know. So there are indicators of that. Obviously, with COVID and the economic repercussions, there is significant worry, because I think a lot of economists and others, analysts, are looking at, are we talking about, you know, 10-15% job losses, depending on which market you're looking at, and even remuneration down like that as well. So I guess it's not surprising that the consumer is a bit conscious. And of course, durian is also one of the things that is consumed, you know, as an outside food, and increasingly by tourists, being reliant on tourists. So then there's obviously clear issues with regard to that.
And we're seeing that durian sellers are bringing their businesses online, delivering frozen durian pulp to consumers locally, as opposed to, you know, saving it all for the international market. Do you see that as part of, you know, efforts to sustain the durian industry so far?
Yeah, that's definitely a great thing that's happening. And I think it's maybe been a little bit overdue. But of course, you know, the export market has helped stimulate the demand for a lot of premium durian. So I think we've got to be glad for how it's evolved. But yeah, I mean, I think the e-commerce side in Malaysia is going to pick up. And You know, we can easily look to how, you know, China has evolved the durian selling as possibly actually ahead of here. Because, you know, you see JD, you know, with all these huge durians, you know, in previous years, in 2018-19, JD, the big e-commerce giant in China, had these big durian festivals. And then they featured Mufan King in the previous year as well. So I guess we've got to see whether JD is going to have, you know, some sort of push again this year. That might be quite telling because in 2018, they had it in June 11th and 2019, June 13th. But, you know, this season is a bit delayed. So, you know, let's fingers crossed that JD does something that we can see as well. And I think domestically as well, you know, they want to put on, you know, put on a bit of excitement, right? There's this 66 cents. Of course, some of the consumers are a bit confused because, you know, they're wondering whether that's a glut, you know, of durians. So there is a bit of confusion, I think, domestically, because I think in terms of pricing and things and the grades of the durian, it's all very subjective and a bit opaque, actually, in the market. So we'll have to see what happens with that, because even like Musang King, you know, there's export grade A, B, C. Now we're seeing grade A being sold. Domestically, retail as well. Previously, we wouldn't have seen that available at all. So I think a lot of Musang King that has sold in previous years was probably a grade B durian. And then, of course, in terms of marketing language, you do have people talking about, you know, other kind of nomenclature. So when it comes to pricing and marketing, it's a bit of a jumble. But then it's not surprising because you're talking about something quite subjective, actually.
We talked earlier about how the potential for international demand, you know, we're going to see a dip in that. What are your predictions for the international market, especially in terms of the rest of the year and the rest of the season?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I mean, I look at other agri supply chains as well. And, you know, this 25-30% drop has been happening. And, you know, not just for a luxury fruit like durian, but even something like palm oil has seen that kind of 25-30% drop in exports across, you know, one, I guess, even 2 months. So what's interesting to see in terms of forecasts is that a lot of full-year demand forecasts are showing that it's going to be down in the, you know, sort of high single digits in terms of the full year of 2020. So that's kind of implying quite an optimistic rebound in demand, and I guess we really hope so, because I think the way COVID-19 has been playing out is, I mean, it's been quite bad, but maybe the virus itself has been not as bad as or at least it's been handled quite well. I know there's people who say that, you know, you didn't need all these lockdowns, but maybe if you didn't do these lockdowns, you might have quite different statistics in terms of the virus. So it's a lot of, you know, dissenting views on that front, I guess. But yeah, I mean, there is some hope for high single-digit downs for sort of basic agro-bulk commodities. I guess in a way, we have to be a bit less optimistic on the fruit front because, you know, fruits is not a basic item. So people can switch between fruits and even, you know, within the fruit that they might opt for more affordable breeds or varieties. And then, of course, fundamentally, you do have the issue that production is going to be expected to be down. I mean, I was just looking back at some of the information. I mean, you know, for farmer to be predicting 300,000 tons this year, I mean, our peak, one of our peak years was actually back in 2013, believe it or not. Actually, 2013, 14, 15, 350 to 380,000 tons. But of course, prices were lower, different then. And now we have a more premium product. So I guess it's really, even if the volume is not a huge increase, it's the mix of durians that we are trending towards the premium end and hoping to hold on to that. While, you know, we do have competition from Thailand and Vietnam as well.
Yuling, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
That was Kuo Yew Ling, independent political economist at Sergi Enam Advisors, weighing in on the durian industry. If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, if you're missing durian, as we, as we've seen from one tweet, then do let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.